Good morning, it's 20 to 10. It's Justin Lee sitting in for Anushka on BBC Radio Cornwall Breakfast this Sunday morning. And the Cornish Gorseth has taken place this weekend, welcoming 19 new bards. One of them is Mark Connor from Pennsylvania. He was recognised for his leadership of a project to preserve the remains of a very special building in America. And I am delighted to say that Mark joins us on the line now. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Justin. I'm so pleased to be here.
Well, we're delighted to have you. Welcome to Cornwall and welcome to BBC Radio Cornwall. And congratulations on becoming a new bard. What was the ceremony like yesterday?
Well, of course, it would have been somewhat better had the weather cooperated. But we don't control that, as we all know. And so it was held inside at the Hale Academy, and it was very moving. I always try and measure this by my 8-year-old granddaughter who was with us, and she thought it was the highlight of the trip. So I think that says it all. It was a wonderful ceremony, and the sea of blue, of course, with all of us in our robes, and very touching and moving, and it was very meaningful for me because I was recognized for my contribution to furthering the understanding of the Cornish culture and work to try to preserve some remnants of it in America.
Yes,
but I don't have. I'm not Cornish, but the fact that the Gorseth had reached out to recognize me was very moving indeed.
I wanted to get an idea. We'll talk a little in a moment about the work that you do in America and why you were recognized. But how much did you know prior to being contacted? Did you know anything at all about the Cornish Gorseth and becoming a bard? Did you know what the role even was?
Well, I knew a little bit because of the understanding that I've picked up over the last number of years about Cornish culture through my work in the States. But I made contact with the Cornish American Heritage Society a number of years ago as we started to develop our little project. And, of course, I learned about the Gorseth from that. I also met a fine family, the Curno brothers of the United States, Bill and George. They, I think Bill lives in Florida and George in one of the, one of the Carolinas. And, you know, they took a great interest in our project. So I learned about the Gorseth from that. And also one of my colleagues in my projects, Damien Nance. Nance, I think, is a well-known Cornish family.
And, yes.
From Damien, I learned a little bit about it as well. So
you had a bit of an understanding. Now, we should come on to the project that has earned you this recognition from the Cornish Gorseth, which is a special building in America, which we think sounds as if it's the last Cornish-style engine house in the USA. Tell us a bit more about it.
Well, if you don't mind, Justin, this is a building that I'm slightly over 70, and this is a building that I've been seeing my entire life. It's hidden behind fences and no trespassing signs, and covered with vegetation. And I recall as a child going by it and thinking it looked exactly like a castle, and of course wanted to learn more. Well, of course, life intervenes, and I spent 40 years in a business career. And once I retired, I said, I really want to understand this building. And there was very little written about it. Very little research had been done. I saw a little article by Damien Nance who said simply that this building should be preserved. And so that set me off on a journey. And I started to research original materials and documents. And what I found out in working with Damien and others is that this is the only surviving Cornish-style pumping engine house in America. Yet it's been entirely abandoned since 1890. It's a ruin. It needs stabilization. So there's an effort underway now, which I'm trying to marshal a support for, which is to get the building preserved, stabilized, and have the area around it opened up to visitors. It sits at the edge of a very very lovely quarry, Butterfield Quarry, and it would be a beautiful site for people to come and see the building, see the structure, which looks very similar to all the engine houses that you see around Red Ruth and elsewhere here in the West Country. And I think people would then also get a chance to learn more about the enormous contribution that Cornwall has made to hard rock mining in America, as well as other aspects of our culture. So
yes, I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you about that. How did a Cornish engine house end up being built? And tell us exactly where it is in Pennsylvania and how it ended up being there.
Well, it's in a village called Friedensville, which is just outside the city of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Bethlehem is, of course, probably famous for its steel industry. But Bethlehem sits between a bit west of New York City and a bit north of Philadelphia. So eastern Pennsylvania. The mine was developed by Quaker investors from Philadelphia, and they were very shrewd people. In fact, one of the investors early on was a fellow by the name of Joseph Wharton, who founded the Wharton School of Business, and which is well known, of course. And they wanted to extract the zinc ore from this mine, and they needed to get the best in the world to be able to do it because it's considered to be the wettest mine in America. The water table is very high. So being smart investors, they came to Cornwall and hired a Cornish mine captain and in turn hired a Cornish engine designer and engine and plant mine operators. So the real team on the site was largely Cornish. And from that, they built this stone engine house. The engine in it was extremely large. If for some of your listeners familiar with the East Pole mine, which has a very large engine in it, I think it's 90 inches diameter cylinder, this engine in Friedensville, which was called the President, named presumably after President U.S. Grant, had a cylinder diameter of 110 inches. So it was extraordinarily large, had two walking beams, and unfortunately was scrapped, as many engines were, around 1900. So, but the engine house remained because it's so large and sturdy, who would want to take it down? The walls are 9 feet thick, and it stays there. But of course, it's suffered over the years since really the entire property has been abandoned since 1890.
So. Yeah, I'm just looking at pictures of it online, actually, and it's extraordinary how it looks so much like the Cornish landscape. It's quite remarkable seeing that familiar site that we have in Cornwall of abandoned engine houses in the setting that it's in. I mean, the pictures I'm looking at are a snow-covered quarry that I'm looking at on a particular website at the moment, but it just looks like it could be plucked straight out of somewhere in Cornwall. It's amazing.
Yeah, exactly, Justin. I think it's been a terrible shame that the property has been so undervalued, if you will, over the years. Unfortunately, in America, I don't think we're quite as advanced as you are in Britain in terms of recognizing the value of our industrial heritage. That's changing. Fortunately, that's changing. And I'm trying to be part of that effort to make that change because we have a great industrial patrimony as well. A lot of it, people like the Cornish who came to America to really build our industry and our industrial base. And I'm really looking forward to the day when we can invite visitors into the property. Unfortunately, it's unimproved at the moment. We do have a very sympathetic property owner now. It's Lehigh University, a well-known school here in the United States, and they own the property. And I've been working hand in glove with them to do the right thing so that we can get the structure stabilized. You know, unfortunately, as with everything, that costs a lot of money. So we'll be in the process of trying to raise funds to make that happen. But we do have a plan. We've gone out and gotten engineering drawings done for the stabilization. We have architectural renderings of what the park might look like. So work's progressing. We also found, believe it or not, a Cornish boiler that was once at this property. You know, everything else that was metal was scrapped, but one boiler managed to find its way into the basement of the furniture factory in a nearby town. It's 30 feet long. If you can imagine, it's a riveted 30-foot-long boiler, one of 22, actually, that they had to operate this engine. Because the engine was drawing 17,000 gallons a minute of water from this mine, so it's massive. And so it's in this basement, and the fact that abandoned furniture factory is about to be knocked down, and when that happens, we're pulling the boiler out of there, and eventually we look forward to it having appropriate spot at the mine in front of the engine house where it would have once been. So, we have a lot of things going on at the moment.
It's an extraordinary project, and there will be lots of people in Cornwall who will want to follow this closely. Have you got a way in which people can easily follow the progress of your endeavours online from here in Cornwall?
Well, I would direct them to our website, which we try to keep current. It's www.freedensvillemindsheritage.org. And I'll say that again, www.freedensvillemindsheritage.org. And we try to keep that current with what's happening. There's also information there if people are interested in contributing to the project. My contact information, of course, and I get emails and contacts frequently, and I try to respond to each and every one of them. So, so that would be one good way. We also, if they come to America and come to Bethlehem, we will have a display on the President engine. A gentleman by the name of Tony Mont, who lives in Devon, made a scale model of the President engine and very generously donated it to the National Museum of Industrial History in Bethlehem, and that will be on display in the lobby, along with information about the mine, and of course, information about Cornwall and the Cornish contribution, which of course goes to the heart of this engine. So.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the website now, which, as you say, has your contact details there. If anyone, obviously, you're not in America at the moment, you're here with us in Cornwall. But anyone who wants to follow it, the website is a fascinating. I mean, I'm absorbed whilst chatting to you at the same time. I'm scrolling through the website and thoroughly absorbed by the story of it. And we have a saying in Cornwall that wherever there's a mine in the world, there would have been a Cornishman at the bottom of it somewhere. And it's clearly the case for your part of America as well. The Cornish heritage. Mining heritage has spread far and wide.
Yes, indeed it has. And a few Cornish names left in my area, but most of them moved on. As I oftentimes tell people, the Cornish people viewed mining as a profession. And once these mines started to peter out, if you will, or in the 1880s, they moved elsewhere to other greener pastures. But we've had a lot of interest in our project from those locations where there's still many, many Cornish people of Cornish heritage, Wisconsin, Upper Peninsula, Michigan, California, Nevada, so forth. So we've had interest from throughout the country in our project. And again, I hope to see the day when we'll have this engine engine house thoroughly stabilized and available for people to not only look at it from the outside, but be able to take a peek inside the engine house and see all its fascinating features. So.
Well, we will follow it closely here in Cornwall. We wish you well. Congratulations on becoming a new bard. Thank you for taking time to talk to us this morning, and safe journey home.
Well, thank you, Justin. It's been a pleasure.
Mark Connor there, who is passionate about that Cornish-style engine house in the United States. If you want to find out more, and I really would encourage you to have a look online, it's freedensvillemineheritage.org. That's FREDENSVILLE, freedensvillemineheritage.org. You'll find it online if you do a search. It's well worth having a look, and we wish them well with that restoration project.